Leaders and they gave us opportunity to be here. Now we have to do that which we are supposed to do, listening to him. First of all, I want just to take this opportunity to thank you all. My friends, all of you, you remember on 17th December, you participated in a special service here of a retirement of my person. And I conveyed my appreciation through the bulletin, but this is the very first time I stand here now to say it verbally to you. I really appreciate you. You have facilitated my ministry in this parish. The Lord has used you, and you have seen true brotherhood and sisterhood. And we are waiting upon the Lord and for his return, having this confidence that indeed we have met a community of believers who can show care and love. We are blessed, and we ask God to bless you mightily. We are very happy to be in your midst, me and my family, obviously. Now, we go to the Word. As you can see the schedule, you remember that this year our theme is to bear fruit that will last. And the pastoral team has agreed that the first trimester we concentrate on the works or the activities or the fruit of the flesh before we go to the fruit of the spirit, and then to see how we will bear those fruits, having removed anything belonging to that which is contrary to the fruit of the spirit. This is found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. I am not sending you to read there. And the list is there. Verse 20 talks of idolatry and witchcraft. We are talking about that today. Not that I have any knowledge about it or any experience. But somehow, at least, witchcraft, I saw it when I was 20 years. A cousin of mine tried to take me to a hut somewhere where there is an old lady who knows to read the future. You know, at 20 years, one is worried. Who will I marry? What will I do in my life? Who will be my boss if I am seeking for a job? But because of my background, my parents being Christians, and my father having lost both parents at 9 years, he brought up himself and he despised completely anything to do with this old tradition of African religion, because he didn't have anyone to take him or to consult for him. He brought up himself. So he had inculcated that in our mind, his children. So even as I walked there, I was in my mind, I was saying, let me just go and see what these people are doing. And when we visited, it was somebody playing with small pieces of wood, grass out there, pieces of skins of goats or sheep, and I could see the things, they mean nothing. So when I talk about it, it is because I have a mind. All people who go there, surely, especially if one is educated, if one has anything of wisdom, do they not see that they are cheated? So this is just a piece of my position as I talk about this. What is idolatry in a few words? Idolatry is worship of an image or a created object. It is an excessive devotion to or reverence for some person or something. The idol, which is a thing or a person, replaces the one and true God in a human heart. The divine honor due to the creator of the universe is paid to the created object or human. That is very sinful, and it is just wickedness. Idol worship robs God of the glory that is rightfully his, and that is something he will never tolerate. In Isaiah 42, verse 8, the Lord says, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. And that is God speaking. The first reading we have read in Exodus 20, verse 2 to 7, the Lord first claims absolute ownership of the people he brought out of the land of bondage into freedom. I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And all that he requires of them is exclusive and true worship, a way of acknowledging him to be the only true God in their lives. That is verse 3. You shall have no other God before me. The Lord told the Israelites that all anything, image or object that should represent him is an idol. His spirit, he spoke to them from the Mount Horeb. They didn't see him. His spirit, and he related to us in his mighty power as God, invisible with our naked eyes, physical, but we get in touch with him with our spiritual eyes that are our faith, and we communicate with him through prayers, through worship, but we cannot represent him by any appearing thing, image, or a form, anything. You know many religion that worship things that are there, physical, and as representative of their gods. Others, they name them gods themselves. Therefore, no idol in their lives will be tolerated at any given time. The most prevalent form of idolatry in the Old Testament times was the worship of images that they were taught to embody various pagan deities. Those were images, trees, animals, stones, or the top of high mountains, the rivers, and others used fetishism, like that small experience I mentioned at the beginning. From the beginning, God's covenant with the people of Israel was based on exclusive worship of him alone. And that is what we have read in Exodus 20, verse 3. It is repeated in Deuteronomy 5, verse 7. In Exodus 24, verse 3 to 4, the Israelites themselves in a congregation like this brought by Moses, they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do. So their covenant between God and themselves was based on the commandment from the part of the God and their agreement. They say, we will do. And many times when we are welcoming, receiving new members here, or being baptized, or confirmed, readmitted, there are those vows we ask. And everyone says, I will do. So it is in the same line that whatever we say we do, we will do, it goes back to that covenant. We covenant with God, and He's there witnessing. The nation of Israel had this privilege before any other nation that they received the revelation of God through the election of their forefather Abraham. And later on, through Moses, they received the commandment. Later on, they received prophets. They were led by God. He used to send His angels, like the time of Joshua conquering Jericho, and many other times. They were the privileged nation ever in the world. And the specific mission they had was when they live relating to their God the way they should, then they will reveal that same God to other nations around them. Their mission was to carry the knowledge of God, the Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, to other nations. You know the promise to Abraham that all nations will be blessed through him. Obviously, it will be materialized because God has said so. And it will be in a different way through Jesus Christ. If Israelites had succeeded, I think people would have changed themselves, would have succeeded because of living honestly and rightly with their God and then drawing other nations to the knowledge of God. So people would have agreed to go at par with the will of God in the very beginning. And then probably Jesus wouldn't have needed to come. But he came because Israelites failed. And I'm not condemning them, because in our turn, ourselves, you and I, many times we fail to keep our vows. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 to 13. The Lord tells them, and now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. Israel took lightly these instructions, as many times they turned away to worship the gods of the Canaanites among whom they lived. The first idol worship that we have read in the Word of God is in Exodus chapter 32, verse 6. And this is the experience of the calf, the golden calf. They had already received instructions. Moses had talked to them. God himself had talked to them before calling Moses to ascend and to be given the Ten Commandments. And only 40 days, they were thinking, this guy, Moses, we don't know what has happened to him. We cannot stay here forever. Let us create our God, and then we will go. Those gods will lead us into the promised land. And God saw it and sent Moses down. And you know what happened with the plate he had with the Ten Commandments written by God's hand. He broke them in anger. He was disappointed. He saw a people that is really messy, stiff-necked. But he was special. He still afforded to go in the presence of God and plead, because God had said, step aside. I'll show you what to do with these guys. I will just sweep them all over, and I will elevate in, through you a nation that is better than all of them. And he said, if you don't forgive them, even me, erase my name from the book you have written. Because the nations of Egypt, where you deployed your strength and power, they will learn that you finished them in the desert. They will laugh at you. They will say, that God couldn't make it to take them to the promised land. That is why he finished them in the desert. Moses, in one way, was fighting for the glory of God. He had that zeal to that God defend his glory. And God said, by the way, you are right. I'll forgive them this time round. But go and take them. I will no longer walk with you. If I walk in the midst, I will finish you. Moses said, it can't be. If you don't agree to go with us, then don't order us to leave this place. So it is like he took God and enclosed him somewhere. God had no defense, no way out. He said, you have to go with us. And God agreed, because he knew the heart of Moses. He was not proud. It was not for his glory. He was pointing to God, this is your glory at stake. You forgive these people and you take us to the promised land. Those who have read the Bible, you know how many times these people rebelled. God comes and punishes them. And whenever they repent, he will always forgive them. That is true even with us. You sin today, you come back, tell God, I have sinned. This thing has happened again. I am sorry. Please forgive me. He does it and he forgets about it. And you move on with your life. Tomorrow or next month or next year, you'll find yourself cheating. You'll find yourself doing other funny things. If in your conscience you tell God, forgive me, I have sinned. And it is like Paul, who was struggling with his sinful nature, and say, I want to do the good. But unfortunately, the bad I don't want to do is what I see myself doing. Who will save me from this wrecked nature? And he said, I remember. Praise be to God. He will save me through Jesus Christ, my Lord. We thank God that Jesus Christ came. And we are post-New Testament. We are post the coming of Jesus. So we are born the time of grace. So now we are even more blessed that we can always count on the grace of God. But let me tell you, modern idolatry is no longer much of worshiping images. The modern time idolatry has taken various other forms. There are four P's. One is power. The other one is prestige. The other one is possession. And the other one is pleasure. All of these fight against us in our body, in our minds. The ego takes us to always look for these four. Among us, the people we are used to call the big people, those who appear big in the world. They can do anything to access these four. They can see you on their way, they remove you by any means so that they get there. And we are used to our politics, isn't it? We are used to our relationship as siblings, brothers, stepbrothers, one family with children from 3, 4, 5 wives, and the father has properties all over. But it will not benefit anyone because people want each one to get the whole of it. They cannot know how to share. So because of greed for possession, for power, domination, domineering others, putting others down, and I am the most prominent. So this is our nature. And together with this, as they go to court, as they go to betray each other, wherever, wengine wanakimbia kwa that kahat with the old shosho to see with things. But this didn't start here. You know, even one king, one day, went to consult a widow. You know him. That is King Saul. And what was the reason? Because in the first place, God ordered him to go and do a duty. And he disobeyed because he didn't do it the way God had instructed him. You read that story in 1 Samuel. And then God said, you want to do it your way? Okay, me, I keep off. Carry your business the way you understand it. And he went, he saw the Philistine attacking. His army was weaker and fewer. Normally they were granted the victory when they were working with God. But when Saul saw that God is not answering him, he went to consult somebody else, a human, who brought back a dead person, consulting the dead, which is part of these witchcraft things. And God sent a message through Prophet Samuel. Because you did this, God is displeased with you. He has taken away your kingdom. He has given to someone whose heart is better than yours. When I was in high school, there were those entertainment that were brought into school. And one guy came to do magic. Actually, I have never understood, because he would come with papers, big papers, burn them, collect the ashes in a box, take a stick and say, Doom Kaliwata, Doom Katawali, Katawali Doom. Things we don't know. And then he opens and he removes scarves and distributes to ladies. Sometimes when I hear some pronouncement like those, similar to those, I wonder, what is it? What are people thinking? Does it have anything to do with witchcraft, idolatry? I don't know. So we have to pray for ourselves. We have to pray for all those gathering you go to, and we hear anything, we are told anything, and we just follow. The categories of witch include the mediums, and that is one Saul went to consult, the sorcerers, the diviners, the spiritists, and astrologers. All those have to do with witchcraft and idolatry, because they all deal with those spirits that are not controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. They consult them because of their fear of the future, and they are not in good terms with God to consult him, at least those of the Old Testament. Today's people, I don't know, everyone can say, I am born again, and then you hear them speak other languages, funny, which are not the languages, that those speaking in tongues by the infusion of the Holy Spirit. No, it is other incantations. Those who consult those categories we have mentioned, they are defiled by their practices. And also, as we have read the example of Saul, God is displeased with them, cannot answer their prayers or their wishes. And those idols also, they go to consult. They don't know the future. They know nothing. They hear nothing. So they go the way they came, maybe cheated by those they consulted, that there will be peace, you will get a very beautiful lady. When you come out of here, you will meet one on somewhere, this, and you will just dress you so well that whenever you go the street and there are so many beautiful ones, you will be confused when you see this is the one, and yet she's going somewhere in her business, and then another one, and nobody talks to you, and you are mad, and you have paid a fee that cannot be refunded. What does the Lord say about all these practices? Deuteronomy 18, verse 9 to 14. Through Moses, the Lord says, when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. He insists, saying, let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engage in witchcraft, or cast spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consult the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. Again, he says, you must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you will dispossess, listen or follow those who practice sorcery and divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. This is an instruction. This is a command. This is strong. He said, you are my own people. We know each other. We deal directly. Those nations, let them do those things. That is why I am angry with them. I remove them and I will install you there and give you the land. You are a special people. As for you, be blameless. Let no one among you be found doing those things. You know other command he has given them. There are many. He was telling them, don't even dare to marry in those nations. Don't mingle. Don't learn their practice. Don't. What did they do? Once they landed there, they started just mingling. They started just following. Instead of being influencers, they were influenced. And they went to worship Baals and the other thing. The worst leader they have ever had. His name is Solomon. The wisest person on earth. But because of his human mind, his strategy to have peace throughout the years of his kingship, 41 years on the throne, he never fought any battle. Why? Because he strategized to marry a daughter of every king around. All princes around him, as far as he can. 600 plus 400, 1,001 wives, all princes. So he could have those allegiance with the surrounding and have peace with them. They will not attack him, his son-in-law. Every daughter comes with her god. Every daughter comes with a god. All the gods of those nations gathered in Jerusalem. And the most outspoken afforded to tell the king, please, we are not preventing you to worship your god, but allow me to place my god just beside there at the altar. When you worship your god, I worship mine. And the next time, when they have enjoyed life, she will tell him, even as we worship this one, let us worship this one together. And his heart, he was finished, removed from the fellowship of God because of his human mind. The Lord God has not permitted anyone who pronounces the name of Jesus to go to those things. If you are threatened, if you are put in a fix, endure persecution for the sake of the glory of God. The Lord your God will come for you, will defend you, and you will not feel the trouble. So, friends, as we conclude, there is one man, a servant of the Lord, Wednesday he went to be with the Lord, called Billy Graham. He said, a few weeks maybe, at 99, before he slept in the Lord, he said, someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am today. I will just have changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God. Praise be to God. One who has lived knowing his destination. And it didn't take long for him to be transferred. Where are you? What is your stand? Whom do you consult in times of trouble? Are you sure of where you are heading to? For sure, all of us, we know we are not here forever. But when our time comes, where are we going? How are we sure of inheriting a place in the presence of our Savior Jesus Christ? Friends, we are not permitted at all, to worship any other, to consult any other, apart from the Lord God Almighty, our Lord, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So may the Lord bless you, and equip you, and encourage you, and guide you, and walk the journey together with you. I can just confess, I am weak, I am a sinner, but I have seen the faithfulness of God. The last 41 years walking with him, day by day, he has really lifted me in another level, and I know he's faithful. All my friends, who are many here, they know the details of my life. And I always give my testimony. Outside Jesus, there is no peace, there is no happiness, there is no nothing, there is no gain. With Jesus, you have everything, everything. Solution to any trouble, any. Ranking from a small problem to big problem in national problems. Jesus has a solution. Accept to worship only him, and you will see his glory, and you will have a share in it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for